Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello and welcome to another Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. Welcome to a very holy, holy half hour as we delve into the mystery of Easter, into the mystery of Christianity, the absolute core of what Christians believe. In a word, it is atonement, or if we break the word into three bite-sized bits, at-one-ment. What's that all about, you might ask? Well, a good question. It is a mystery, but it's a wonderful mystery. It is the good news which Christians live by. Mind you, not all the Christians fully understand it, and they all have different interpretations of it. But in a nutshell, atonement is the antidote to the world's sickness. The human predicament, briefly stated, is that we are broken, sick people, we are divided among ourselves, and we are estranged from our Creator God. That's our basic problem. Atonement is the answer to it. Jesus heals broken, sick people, making them whole again. Jesus unites us together as one family. And Jesus forgives our sin and gives us a fresh start with himself. So we are at one with ourselves, at one with others, and at one with our God Jesus. How does he do that? Well, hold on a moment, and this program will try to explain that. But first, here's some music to get us in the mood.
We'll be right back.
So how does God put us right within ourselves, between ourselves and with himself? People have discussed and argued about that for 2,000 years and more. So let me outline the four major lines of discussion on this, with a wee bit of music in between as well. The first of the four major theories of the atonement is the substitutionary theory. It sees Jesus as being the human representative and our substitute, standing in our place for us. Basically, if God hates sin, we are enemies with God when we do wrong. We've fallen out. There's a breakdown. Something has to be done about it. The people who have done God a disservice, done wrong things, said wrong things, thought wrong things, owe God more than an apology. God says that the wages of sin is death, the punishment is death, so we all should be dying for the sins that we commit. But then God is a loving God, merciful and gracious and forgiving God. So he says, I'll come down myself and I'll stand in your place and I'll take my own punishment. As the judge, I sentence you to death. I stand in the dock and I take the sentence myself. So Jesus represents the whole human race, all the sins of all the people, and he dies for us. And being God, when he dies, he's able to bounce back again. At the time of the Nazis gassing Jews in Auschwitz and other places, there was a very moving story that there was a queue of folk going into the gas chamber, including a little girl. And somebody saw that and went up and said to the girl, can I take your place? And the girl stepped out of the line and this man went into the gas chamber and died. Jesus comes down among us to be one of us, to identify with us, to be our representative, and he goes to the cross instead of all of us having to go to the cross, and he dies paying the price of sin, although he'd committed no sin, although he is the God that we sin against. So he takes the hurt. Often in life it's the strong one who has to take the hurt for all the other folks' faults. So the idea of Jesus being our representative and our substitute, dying for us, is expressed in this song by Amy Peck called Man of Sorrows.
Glorious.
You're listening to 3TFM, when tonight we're thinking about the Atonement, trying to understand what Christians are on about at Easter time, when we think about what God has done for us. The first theory of the Atonement was that Jesus is our substitute. Here's another line of interpretation of it all. Jesus is a sacrifice or a ransom for us. The young Abraham Lincoln was greatly offended by slavery. That's why later on as president he helped abolish it. But he went, when he was young, to a slave market, and he saw this slave, and he decided to buy the slave. And once he'd paid his money for the slave, and he owned this slave, the first thing he did was he said to her, "You're free to go." And she couldn't believe it at first. "You mean I can just do anything I want, go anywhere?" "Yes, on you go." And she says, "Well, in that case, can I freely choose to serve you?" And she worked for him then. But you see what he did? He paid the money, he paid the price to give this slave freedom. We're all slaves tied in knots to sin. We get into a mess, we get stuck in the rut, can't get out of the bit, we can't help ourselves. Jesus comes down to earth and he frees us from our slavery by paying the price. Abraham Lincoln paid money. Jesus had to pay the price in a deeper sense, with his life. That's why it's not only the ransom theory, it's the sacrificial theory. In the Old Testament, once a year, the high priest took a goat and went out to the wilderness and set it free. And it would go out into the wilderness and it would perish and die on its own resources. This was known in the trade as the scapegoat. That's the origin of the expression, the scapegoat. The priest had, in theory, put all the sins of all the people onto that goat, led it out, and chased it away into the wilderness. And so all the people's sins were taken away on the back of the scapegoat. Jesus said, "I'm your scapegoat. You don't need these animal sacrifices anymore now. I am the goat," or in another phrase, "I am the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He's the Passover lamb, for those that know about that. So Jesus sacrificed for us. Often in relationships in life, when things go pear-shaped, there is hurt. We hurt God all the time. We don't just crucify him once 2,000 years ago. We crucify him every day. Just 2,000 years ago, he showed it once. God takes the hurt, and he doesn't reply with hate for hate, but he replies with love for hate. So we celebrate in this next song that Jesus is the sacrifice for us. There is a green hill far away. Thank you. We've been thinking of Jesus as our representative and substitute, or Jesus as our sacrificial scapegoat. Here's Jesus in the moral influence theory as our example of God's love, or God making his love concrete. God looks down on the world and sees it getting into a total mess, and he comes down to show his love, to invite us to love like he loves. Love one another as I have loved you, said Jesus. What a different world it would be if everybody was prepared to be crucified as they seek to love everybody else. Abelard in the 12th century spoke about a tree trunk lying on the ground horizontal, and at one end you can see all the rings of the tree, but you know the rings go all the way up the tree, so you're getting a cross-section. What we saw 2,000 years ago, Jesus being crucified, was something that is eternally true. We are always crucifying our God, who always faithfully loves us. And what can he do to win us back? Well, you know the story of the prodigal son. The bad boy runs away from home, goes and wastes it all, then comes back with his tail between his legs. His father loved him before he went away. He loved him when he was away. He loved him when he came back. When he came back, he didn't jump on him and chop him. He hugged him and kissed him and had a celebratory party because he was now home again. When we look at the cross, we see the love of God. Greater love has no one than that they die for others, and God dies for us. So this next song from the Wesley's Chapel congregation is When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. What do I survey and see? I see the love of God made concrete and real in flesh and blood for us. Here's another theory of the atonement. This one's a very different angle. It's the Christus Victor theory from a book by Gustav Olén. It's that Jesus has to do more than be our substitute or our sacrifice or to be the tangible expression of the love of God. Jesus has to not only forgive our sins in the past, he's got to deal with them. He's got to address evil. So this is a more bloody, violent interpretation of the life and death and rising of Jesus. This world is in the grip of evil, St. Paul said, principalities and powers. In the cosmic chess match of life, there's a black side, a shadow side. We sometimes feel in life that there are gremlins, that we're climbing up a hill and there's somebody at the top rolling down marbles to trip us up. Sometimes we feel that it's not just we fall to our own weaknesses, we're externally tempted and tried and tested. So please God, come and be our champion, come and beat the enemy that otherwise keeps beating us. So Jesus comes down and gets to grips with the basic problem of evil. It looks like he's the victim on the cross and he's lost, but it's not really, it's his way of dealing with evil. In this more bloodthirsty sort of way, think of God pouring out all his weed killer, all his atom bombs, all his aggression and wrath at sin on Jesus. Jesus takes it all, is blasted, obliterated, annihilated and destroyed, and then he bounces back again. But this is a way of exorcising and getting rid of the evil and the sin in the world. So here's Spring Harvest singing about our world's need for a champion. So what do you think? There's Jesus as our representative and substitute, Jesus as our sacrificial scapegoat, Jesus as revealing God's love in person, Jesus our champion defeating evil. Of course, you realise it's kind of one diamond with many facets. They're all interrelated, these, and we could agree to all four of them, to be honest. We're just emphasising different aspects. The main point is that Jesus loves us, dies for us, forgives us, wants us, gives us a fresh new start. He gives us shalom. Shalom's a rich word. It means wholeness and health and well-being and goodness in ourselves, between ourselves and our relationships, and between ourselves and our God. So bye for now, and I leave you with shalom, followed by Graham Kendrick.
Shalom, my friend, shalom, my friend, shalom, shalom. Till we meet again, till we meet again, shalom, shalom.
Song into our hearts. Jesus put this song into our hearts. It's a song of joy no one can take away. Jesus put this song into our hearts. Jesus taught us how to live.